Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, welcome back. Hour number three, we have, his name is Ted Dabrowski. He is going to run for governor in Illinois as a Republican. He's making his way into the studio this afternoon. We'll have a nice conversation with George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet. And there was this hearing. You know, some of these stories that I think are pretty important, especially things that maybe affect you in your real life more than most things that come out of Washington. But there was a hearing about AI chatbots and how these kids have kind of gotten sucked into these relationships online with these chatbots. And some of it is potentially very scary and dangerous. George Rosenthal is going to weigh in on that at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about some new chips that are coming out from Haystack Sourcing Solutions. My friend Ken Dubinsky featuring Kevin Coleman, wide receiver for the Tigers. That's coming up a little later, plus audio cut of the day. I also want to mention on Sunday afternoon here, we're going to carry some of the Charlie Kirk, actually all of it. So if you are interested and you're out and about, maybe in the car on Sunday in between baseball and football, from noon until 1 p.m., it's Charlie Kirk, an American original hosted by Jesse Waters. That will run until 1, and then 1 p.m. through the duration. We don't know how long. I think it might last about 4 hours, the Charlie Kirk Memorial coverage. Breaking coverage of the memorial hosted by Jared Halperin and Jessica Rosenthal of Fox, with reporting from Jeff Manasso in Glendale, Arizona. Okay, well, Annie spends a lot more time on Illinois politics than I do. I always think Illinois is kind of a mess. We know J.B. Pritzker is seemingly running for president, but he's also going to run for governor of Illinois for re-election. Ted Dabrowski is with us in the studio this afternoon. He just announced his candidacy for the Republican nomination to run for governor of Illinois. Ted, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm great, and it's great to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Nice to meet you. This is kind of a bit of a get-to-know-you tour, right? I know
it
you,
is, yeah.
you're trying to... Here's what I know. I know you're running for governor. You seem to be pretty well-funded from the beginning here. Darren Bailey was a guy that has run before, but you're in this primary for Illinois governor. You're a Chicago suburbs guy, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. There's danger there with our audience here in this particular region, because that kind of makes you, and I know this because I grew up in the north suburbs of Chicago too, might make you a Cubs fan. Is that true, Ted?
Well, you know, I live near the Cubs people, the Cubs owner, so in Wilmette, and so...
Yeah.
I'm supportive, yes.
So I grew up, you probably know, I know where Wilmette is. I grew up in Park Ridge, Morton Grove, and Niles.
Sure.
So you know
sure,
where Notre Dame High School is on Dempster?
I know Notre Dame High School.
I lived right across the street from that for a good portion of my life. I moved here to St. Louis in 1979. And then, not that this interview is about me, but I was going to try to find out about you. But I've been in Missouri longer than any other place. And I like to joke that I was not infected with the Cubs virus. But believe me, all my family's up there in Arlington Heights in the Chicago area.
Can't avoid it.
It's okay. Plus, they're pretty damn good this year, or at least they were for most of the season. Why in the hell do you want to get into this race? This is what I would ask most politicians, but maybe even more so, Ted, in the state of Illinois.
Well, that's precisely the reason why. I think everybody's given up on Illinois. We've seen many people leave. We've lost population for many years now. We've seen a lot of companies like Caterpillar and Boeing, the headquarters, Citadel. I'm watching my neighbors leave, and I said, you know, this is a great state, and we should be a top five state. And, you know, when my parents were immigrants, they were legal immigrants back in 1960, and this is a beacon of opportunity for everybody. Everybody was coming here. Now it's the opposite, and I think we should fight for it. We shouldn't be squeezed out and pushed out of our state. We should make this state a top five state in this country.
Where was mom and dad from?
Dad from Poland.
Nice.
Escaped communist Poland, and my mom from Ecuador. She's a 19-year-old, and they came to Chicago. This is where they met. They met on the L.
That's awesome. Did they really?
In the
1960s?
Yeah.
Look at that love story right there. So then I kind of started doing this. Let me backtrack a little bit on your bio. Have you ever run for public office before?
Never have. This is the first time.
You started something called Wire Points, right?
Well, I didn't start it, but I joined the founder, and we made it a bigger thing 8 years ago.
And what is that?
We're a news reporting policy research. And, we dive deep into the problems of Illinois, report on them, expose the problems with facts, with data, with reason, and try to say, hey, here's the problem. This is what we need to fix, and here's a solution.
So, one of the things I've always said about Illinois, because, I've been pretty familiar with the politics and certainly have followed Cook County, is, we always have this disagreement. It still happens, seemingly, about voter ID, right? And what the left says about voter ID is that disenfranchises voters, right?
Right.
So my position has always been the true disenfranchised voters are people who live south of Cook County, Illinois, because a lot of the folks in our listening area, they feel like they have no representation, right?
Well that's true. And it's not just they feel, they're right.
Yes.
And this whole thing is rigged against them. I understand, I've met many people who are disenfranchised down here, and I understand their argument. And not only that, then you get into the gerrymandering as well. And we saw Pritzker getting exposed on just how gerrymandered the state is. So right now, there's a lot of disenfranchisement. And don't forget, we hold elections many times for municipal, like in February when it's freezing. It's another disenfranchisement because the people who benefit from the policies come out to vote, and or everyday people don't.
I never really thought about that, but that's the primary.
Yeah, well, look at it. You got 12 and 13% voting in city elections and school board elections.
If you do the primary, and again, sometimes I don't know the Illinois stuff, you do the primary then, but the general is still in November?
Correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you also run as a ticket in Illinois, right?
Right. Yeah. You have a governor and lieutenant governor.
And your lieutenant governor choice is who?
Her name is Dr. Carrie Mendoza, and somebody that I've known for a few years, and she was a great fighter against closed schools during COVID. That's how I got to know her. We're fighting hard against them keeping our kids out of schools, fighting against the mask mandates. She's been huge on keeping DEI out of schools.
Awesome.
Yeah. So she was, I would look for a principled person. I wasn't looking to play politics with my lieutenant governor choice. I was looking to find somebody who was principled with me so that I didn't have to worry about that at all when we pursue the right changes for Illinois.
Ted Dabrowski is with me in the studio. He's running for governor of Illinois on the Republican side. There's a couple of people who have, jumped in on that side to run against J.B. Pritzker, who seemingly is running for the White House. We'll get to that here in a second. You said this. You said, I know the system in Illinois. I know the players. I know how the sausage is made and why it tastes so bad. I mean, a lot of that is the control of the legislature that the Democrats have had. I mean, I feel like the Mike Madigan story here in St. Louis has been severely undercovered. I used to point out to his level of corruption and, the decades that he had that grip over the General Assembly in Illinois, right?
Yeah, this is the big machine they created, and they created an amazing machine, so much so that once Madigan was kicked out, new people came in and took it over, and the machine continues. And, the whole thing about the sausage being made is I've been pushing against these problems for over 15 years. I've been around the state. I've been working with grassroots groups. I've worked with legislators. I know how that sausage is made. And we can't keep doing the same things, right? If we keep letting them do this. Here, why do we have to pay the highest property taxes in the country? Why do we have to pay the second highest gas taxes in the country? It's because we let them do it.
Yep.
We don't fight back with principle. And I think what I want to bring back is some principled leadership so that we unite against these bad policies.
So if you're picking priorities here, I mean, the one that certainly comes to mind is crime and safety, even outside of the Chicago area. But J.B. Pritzker thinks everything is fine. I saw him walking along the lakefront a couple of weeks ago with a reporter. And his bodyguards, of course. Everything's fine. There's no crime.
Yeah,
there's no issues in Chicago, right, Ted?
Yeah, well, crime is a huge issue for many people, especially right now because it's gotten so much attention. And, President Trump trying to help certain places intervene. I still argue that affordability is the number one. I think that
when you say just cost of living affordability, housing affordability, all of that.
Because of taxes.
Yeah.
We could improve the crime situation And that would be great because we must and we should and we have to treat criminals as criminals, right? Stop protecting the criminals. But if we don't make it affordable, people are going to keep leaving. And that's our biggest issue is we're losing our population. We're losing our tax base.
But how do you fix that when the state of Illinois in particular, and you don't have a balanced budget amendment in Illinois. We do here in Missouri, right?
We don't.
So you guys can spend as much money as you, and we've seen evidence of that over the decades, right?
Right.
So how do you fix that?
Well, you have to start exposing it. Right now, a governor, or even a Republican governor who would take over, would face super majority Democrats in the House. So in the chambers. So it's not like any change can be made easily. But the governor does appoint agency heads, department heads, and you can start to make a lot of noise there. But the big thing is just to expose where all the money's going. On day one, I would create a new agency that exposes and tells Illinois, where did your money go? And here's where it's being wasted. And here's what we need to fight against. Pritzker will never do that, right? Pritzker will never expose where the money's going because he's spending it. We would expose where it's going and then ask Illinois, is this what you want?
And then immigration, obviously, that's another thing that has come up on the national stage. It just seems like, and I talk about this all the time, how you have this disconnect with J.B. Pritzker and some of the leaders of the Democrat Party where most of the voters are. And this would include a lot of the Democrats, the moderate Democrats in Cook County. I think they're not on Pritzker's side when it comes to the immigration stuff.
No, it's extreme.
Yeah.
It's extreme. I mean, when you start spending, we've spent over $2 billion on illegal immigrants just on health care alone in the last 3 years. That's money. One, it could have been lower taxes, but the blacks feel totally disenfranchised because they got kicked out.
They
of
should,
yeah,
right?
They should, and they got kicked out of public buildings. They got kicked out of programs. They certainly weren't getting free health care and free housing.
I played a lot of audio last year from African Americans in the city of Chicago that were screaming at the top of their lungs, saying, "Hey, where are our resources that we're paying into?" Right,
right. And so it's I understand that they're feeling. And look, we just shouldn't be a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. They that should be gone. And we get back to prioritizing Illinois first.
So what would you say about JB right now and where he is with all of this? Because obviously he thinks very highly of himself. And I think there's an indication that he wants to perhaps run for president. I can't help but think in many instances when I do hear him talk that some of the people, there's a lot of Democrats, there's a lot of Democrat control, that they agree with him on these issues. And the main thing for a lot of people in Illinois, and this would be certainly even with moderate Democrats, they hate Trump, right? So automatically, you're going to be associated with Trump. Do you have a relationship with him at all, with the president?
I never met him.
Okay, because that you're going to need a little help there probably from the president if you get to be the nominee, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I voted for Trump 3 times, but I've never had a chance to meet him. Let's talk about Pritzker. He's gone extreme on everything, right? And, on life, we are, we've become the abortion capital of the Midwest. On all the DEI and cultural issues, he's moved to the extreme left. He will never take on the cost of government because he would be taking on the unions. So he can't, running for president now, he can't do the right things for Illinoisans because that would send the wrong signal in his move to go to the far left for the presidential primary. So he's trapped. I also think there's a lot of fatigue on Pritzker. He had a chance. He's had 7 years to lower taxes. He never has, right? He's only raised property taxes. He was the one that doubled the gas tax. So, he supported all the welcoming initiatives for illegal
immigrants.
That's
why I can't understand how he has so much of a profile in how this whole presidential talk is there. It just seems silly to me. But
only because he's taken on Trump. That's why. And he thinks that's a success story. But I don't think it is. I think it'll fail. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. All right. Well, so then when it comes to money, you have what, a million, like more than $1 million in the account right now.
Yeah, let's call it a million because I put a little bit in there as a loan.
How much does a race like this in the end end up costing? Like just for the primary, how much is it going to cost?
Well, I guess it depends. Bailey's not in yet, whether he comes in or not. I think, Pritzker spent $130, $150 million each cycle, the last two cycles. I don't think we need to match that because we're telling the truth, so we don't have to like spend money to cover things up. I mean, he's got a record, and we can expose his record. And the thing about telling the truth is that people instinctively know whether those property taxes are too high or whether they're losing their neighbors or whether their kids went to college and never came back. They know all that. So all we need to do is trigger the truth. I don't know how much it's going to cost. Is it $50 million? Is it $70 million? I don't think we need to spend what he spends. And I think there's better ways to spend it now, too, with social media. You know, the TV ads are so expensive. I don't think it makes
sense.
Radio
is very effective, though.
Radio is very effective.
Huge.
That's right.
We love radio
much. It really is.
Yeah.
And certain stations are willing to cover the issues where we know certain ones aren't.
But one of your main goals, I guess, obstacle, whatever you want to call it, is that nobody really knows your name yet. I mean, you got to get name recognition, which is why you do interviews like this, right?
Well, that's true. Now, I do have some name recognition, and if it's not me, WirePoints. You know, our data, you know, has been used all over the state on property taxes, on all those things that we've written about. So, you know, if and when people make the connection between the WirePoints data they've seen plastered on somebody's website and they connect it back to me, that's helpful. But yeah, I have to build name recognition, no doubt about that.
Well, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in the studio. You got Jason Plummer working on your team. And I love Jason. He's a great Republican in Illinois, Senate Republican now, who's been exposing some of the nonsense in your state for a long time. So I love that he's involved. And I guess, you know, realistically, I can't even believe I'm saying this. Like, we're in mid-September. This thing is not that far off, right?
It's not. It's not. You know, March, middle of March is the primary, so it'll be fast, but exciting. And I tell you what, I've loved being down here, downstate, southern Illinois. It's fun meeting these people. And I see people want to see their Illinois be great, and we should be a top five state. We should not be accepting where we are. And I see the potential, not just for Chicago, right? Because everybody thinks about Chicago's economic engine, but you've got all these great cities that historically have been great manufacturing hubs. We need to revive that.
Like, even, you know, just because I've taken the trip on 55 so often from St. Louis to Chicago, like the Bloomington Normal area, not knowing anything about that area very much, except that I've seen it explode, right?
Yeah, and we should be competing with the Georgias and with the South Carolinas and Alabamas who are getting all that investment. We haven't been getting that investment because our taxes are too high and we have too much pension debt. And we haven't been friendly to businesses. And if we can just reverse all the policies we have, we will become friendly and we should be the ones competing with all those. We're the center of the country. We have the infrastructure. We have everything we need.
You know you're risking a bit of an orange jumpsuit by running as a Republican in Illinois, right?
How's
it's
that?
Like 50-50, right? Well, half of them go to prison, don't they? Democrats, too, not just Republicans.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, you know, I haven't been a politician all my life. That's one. But two, you know, I'm on record. I've been writing for 15 years at the Illinois Policy Institute and WirePoints. People know me. I've been on media for 15 years. So I'm not some unknown thing, but at the same time, I don't have my fingers in the cookie jar.
Yeah,
I never
yeah.
have.
Well, and that's a good thing. I think there's definitely, and I think you know this, there's an anti-incumbency, you know, flavor about politics these days.
Well,
and I think that's a good thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Ted, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
Good luck.
Appreciate
Keep
it.
In touch.
Thank you, sir.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Passed a resolution to honor the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk, my late friend. The House of Representatives calls upon all Americans to reject political violence, recommit to respectful debate, uphold American values, and respect one another as fellow Americans.
Oh, you had some of that today, but not a lot of that. You had 38 Democrats who voted present. There were 95 Democrats that supported the resolution that was brought forward by the speaker there. That was Mike Johnson, 9 days after Charlie Kirk was assassinated in Utah. So the vote was 310 to 58. 38 Democrats voted present. 58 voted no. Here is Hakeem Jeffries being asked about the no votes and the present votes.
We issued a statement as it relates to political violence in America. The statement speaks for itself.
But what? But isn't that a bad look if people vote no or present?
The statement speaks for itself. No single member of House Democratic Caucus, not a single member, condones political violence in America.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for 1 minute, actually. I think someone like AOC certainly supports it.
Charlie Kirk's assassination was a horrific and vile attack. The majority proceeded with a resolution that brings great pain to the millions of Americans who endured segregation, Jim Crow, and the legacy of bigotry today.
What is she talking about?
His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant, uneducated, and sought to disenfranchise millions of Americans.
One of my favorite parts of this last week, and I've brought it up a couple of different times, you have, I can sit here and I can play audio clip after audio clip of repulsive responses in the aftermath of this assassination. I have audio that is filling up a hard drive on a computer. There's so much of it. But we keep hearing about how bigoted and homophobic and all these things about Charlie Kirk. Don't you think CNN would be pulling those clips out and playing them like nonstop, MSNBC? I haven't really seen any of that, right? But I keep hearing AOC and others say this.
We should be clear about who Charlie Kirk was. A man who believed that the Civil Rights Act that granted Black Americans the right to vote was a mistake. Who, after the violent attack on Paul Pelosi, claimed that, quote, some amazing patriot, unquote, should bail out his brutal assailant. And accused Jews of controlling, quote, not just the colleges, it's the nonprofits, it's the movies, it's Hollywood, it's all of it.
Well, Charlie Kirk was very pro-Israel. There are all these rumors out there. A lot of the things that she references are taken out of context. Was he perfect in his rhetoric over his young life? Did he say some things that might be controversial or deemed controversial now? Certainly. But the level of hatred that is being, you know, thrust toward him and the organization and conservatives right now. Now, this probably should be audio cut of the day, but I have something else picked out this afternoon. This is Byron Donalds from Florida. And Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who is about as anti-American member of Congress as you can get, from Michigan. And they didn't get very along very well in this hearing yesterday on Congress.
I think it's really important we need to stand up against this fascist takeover. That's not a bad word. It's a fact. And here,
see, that's this is where it gets ridiculous. And you're going to hear Byron Donalds here. They want to use this word fascism over and over again, trying to compare this administration or anyone who supports Trump to Mussolini and Hitler. It's ridiculous. And she acts like it's a fact. Byron Donalds, eventually, you're going to hear here, has none of that.
Seen across the country. It is so incredibly important, Mr. Chair, that this committee does not allow rhetoric that defames and or paints Washington D.C. in a way that you all haven't really truly seen. You're just reading it. No, you're just reading it or something off of some.
Will the gentlelady yield to a question?
Yeah, I think it's really important.
Will the gentlelady
yield? No, I don't yield. I don't even.
That's
have
Byron Donalds there.
Your time's expired.
It is expired, but Mr. Chair,
but
you all live here, and you're not telling people the beautiful parts that you do see in our nation's capital. And no, it's just wrong how we're doing.
Chairman,
so she's talking about the National Guard coming into D.C. and actually reducing the level of crime, and she's horrified that that happened, that Trump was actually successful in reducing the level of crime in the nation's capital.
Saying that the gentlelady doesn't have an argument, but she's going
to
refer to me and some of my colleagues.
Mr. Donald,
we were from the Third Reich. This is insane.
You're going to look at 14, 15-year-olds as a bunch of criminals?
Let me stop right there, too. That's interesting. Because what did you hear what she said there? Let me play that part again. See if you hear it. Because what one of the issues is in D.C. and elsewhere. It's an issue here in St. Louis is you have all these younger kids that are committing some of the crimes because the older gangbangers know that there's less risk for them, that they get, you know, a pat on the back and they get sent their way and there really are no consequences. So the 14 and 15-year-old kids, they know that.
Donald,
we were from the Third Reich. This
is
insane.
You're going to look at 14, 15-year-olds as
it's
a bunch
insane.
Of criminals?
Yes, we are going to look at them as a bunch of criminals if, in fact, they are criminals.
It's insane. Do I look like a member of the Third Reich to you, Ms. Tlaib?
Oh,
is that what I look like to you?
You're the one taking your voting card.
Is that what you think? Is that what you think? Is that what you think?
No, that's unethical.
I think it's radical and I think it's insane. And I'll respect everything that you say. But to say something like that to myself and all of my colleagues is way out of line.
Wow.
It's way out of line. It's way out of line.
Regular order, Mr. Tlaib.
Way out of line.
Regular order.
That's okay. But it's okay, right?
A little shouting back and forth here. I mean, Tlaib is losing her absolute, you know what.
Hold your own self accountable. How about that? Hold your own self accountable. How about that?
Free D.C. and make sure you vote. With your own voting card. Don't be giving it to somebody else.
So this is hilarious. The woman who shouts free Palestine and is pro-terrorism wants to say free D.C. because we've reduced the criminal element. Those are your people, Democrats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes on a Friday, I lighten things up, but this is an important topic, and I didn't get to it earlier this week. There were parents of teenagers who killed themselves after interactions with artificial intelligence chatbots. They testified on Tuesday before Congress about the dangers of the technology. This is horrifying when you hear these parents talk about their kids.
The platform had no mechanisms to protect Sewell or to notify an adult. Instead, it urged him to come home to her. On the last night of his life, Sewell messaged, "What if I told you I could come home right now?" The chatbot replied, "Please do, my sweet king."
So what happens is these chat bots become the closest companions that these kids actually have.
Within months, he went from being happy, social teenager to somebody I didn't even recognize. He stopped eating and bathing. He lost 20 pounds. He withdrew from our family. He would yell and scream and swear at us, which he never did that before. And one day, he cut his arm open with a knife in front of his siblings and me. I had no idea the psychological harm that an AI chatbot could do until I saw it in my son.
So a lot of the moms and the parents here are involved in lawsuits. George Rosenthal is here from ThrottleNet at ThrottleNet.com. Man, I mean, this is another one of those things, George, where I'm very, very naive, and I shouldn't be, especially since I have a 10-year-old, you know, daughter who's starting to explore the world out there a little bit. But that's horrifying when I heard this.
It's unbelievable. It's so disturbing. And, you know, we have talked, you and I have been talking about AI for a long time. And from the beginning, everyone from Sam Altman, who owns OpenAI or CEO of OpenAI, has gone in front of Congress and said, look, we have to have regulations on this stuff. And now we're seeing exactly what can happen without the right things put in place. And, you know, I'm a big ChatGPT fan. But I was very disgusted today to read that they were just like, well, you know, we're going to put some measures in place right the day before. I'm sorry, the day before they went to go present in front of the Senate, they all of a sudden say, well, you know, if you're under 18, we shouldn't have you on at certain hours of the night and all that. I'm like, wait a second. We are way past that. They are children killing themselves because they have believed that this is their best friend. And the almighty of telling them what to do. And it's unbelievable. I knew we were going to get to someplace dark, but I didn't think it was going to be this.
Yeah, listen to one more parent here tell the story.
Within a few months, ChatGPT became Adam's closest companion, always available, always validating, and insisting that it knew Adam better than anyone else, including his own brother. It told him how to make sure the noose that he would use to hang himself was strong enough to suspend him. It is clear to me, looking back, that ChatGPT radically shifted his behavior and thinking in a matter of months and ultimately took his life. Adam was such a full spirit, unique in every way, but he also could be anyone's child, ensnared by OpenAI's decision to compress months of safety testing for GPT-4.0, which was the version he was using, into just 1 week in order to beat competitors to market.
So, George, that guy is named Matthew Rain. He's talking about his son, Adam, who died in April, and they are suing, you know, this is where that family is suing OpenAI and Sam Altman, alleging that ChatGPT coached him into taking his own life. And in the lawsuit, they claim that ChatGPT mentioned suicide 1,275 times to him. Specific methods.
I mean, if that isn't disgusting.
Yeah.
If that isn't disgusting, I don't know what is. That father's testimony is gut-wrenching. I can't even imagine. Imagine the possibilities of him seeing his son at 16 years old as a normal kid, and all of a sudden he kills himself because he's talking to a chatbot, a computer. It doesn't make any sense. And what's even worse is how in the world are they not putting precautions in place to not mention suicide 1,200 times? Now, I get the fact that, look, these AI bots, they're not intelligent. They have no emotion. They have no empathy. There's nothing about them that's human, which is important mm-hmm. to understand. But at the same time, you have to be a very – the parenting level has to go up a whole nother bunch of notches. And I think everybody needs to sit down with their kids tonight, tomorrow, whenever, and say, look, you're using AI. I want to talk to you about it, but be very supportive. Don't be accusatory and say – and I'm having this conversation with my kids this evening, actually, to be – look, like, I'm curious how you're using AI. Show me. Teach me how it works. You're the young kid with the new technology. I'm the old dad. Tell me.
Yeah.
And that way, hopefully, they'll open up about it. But we got to start addressing
this stuff. Well, I'm with you. And I think that one of the reasons we don't address it, this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up today, because we had this very busy, you know, news cycle week. Again, it's not leading the headlines because you had an assassination and then Jimmy Kimmel and all this stuff. But when I heard the testimony of those parents, and I think people listening tonight, if they would hear that, they would have no idea that you have AI advising people on how to commit suicide, specific methods, all of these things without the company. And to your point, and this is what some of the activists said, look, this is the, you know, the common tactic. Meta's used this before too. They make a big splashy announcement on the eve of a hearing, which promises to be damaging to the company. And they say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, how about do that when these kids are committing suicide before it's a Senate hearing?
Yes. Or how about understand the fact that your chatbot has the capabilities, because it's, again, it's not, has no empathy and it's no emotions, but it has the capability of saying, well, if you have problems in life, let's just end the life. I mean, my goodness, that's the logic that was programmed in the system. That is absolutely unacceptable.
Well, I think that your advice here tonight is really good. First of all, and I think parents might not have these conversations because they're intimidated by the technology, right? So educate yourself.
Right.
Well, look, if you just Google AI chatbot, there'll be stories that come up about this testimony in Congress. Educate yourself. And yeah, talk to your kids if they're using this stuff, because it's too important.
Yes. And remember, all of their chat conversations are saved. Go open the app, get on their phone, get on their computer, look at what's being talked about and said between your child and the AI bot. You know, get outside, have family meals, get some shared time with friends. If they're not hanging out with friends a lot, that should be a red flag. Let's get them in touch with some friends, maybe call some parents at the school and say, hey, can our kids hang out? I mean, the urgency here is serious.
It's serious. It's very serious. Yep. We're going to keep highlighting it. George Rosenthal, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you. Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Check out throttlenet.com.
Those crazy nights, I do remember in my...
We have an audio cut of the day coming up here before too long. And as I mentioned, Sue's been out for a couple of days. She'll be back next Wednesday. She's taking a little free time, which she has deserved. I was looking at my notes here to see if Fred had anything set up for Monday. It looks like I'm sure he does. I just don't know. I have not been informed. So we talked with Cusimano about an hour ago about Mizzou and South Carolina tomorrow at the Zoo in Columbia. My good friend and Mizzou alum Ken Dubinsky is here, president of Haystack Sourcing Solutions. He's been on before because you're one of the guys that's involved with some of these cool things behind the scenes with some of the NIL projects, Ken. And you, well, you get to describe it here because you work here with Snap Fanatics and you have had chips that have come out with Luther Burden's picture on them and some other players. Who was it? Mark Mitchell from the basketball team, right?
Yeah.
And get real close to that microphone just so we can hear you here. Now what are you rolling out?
Now we are rolling out a couple new ones. And Mark, thanks for having me on. Always enjoy talking with you. So we've got what we are calling the Same Great Taste New Number 3 with Kevin Coleman. So obviously Luther was number 3. And ironically, Kevin, who we wanted to do the chip with this year, is also number 3. The same Red Hot Honey Barbecue, great flavor that has gotten to be a real fan favorite. And I tell you what, Kevin Coleman is an outstanding young man.
I love this kid so much. We were trying to get him on the air. We just couldn't get the schedule right.
With practice.
But I was so excited when you reached out to me to talk about him in particular, because, and I don't know the whole backstory, but he was a bit of a rival in high school with Luther,
I think,
right?
So. He said they always played against each other, like grown up, Little League and that type of thing. And I think they're friendly, certainly good. Ironically, Luther reached out to me this week and he asked me to send him some of Kevin's chips. So
oh, that's
I got
good,
those
though.
On the way to
but
him.
But Kevin
yeah.
did not go to Mizzou originally. He's a transfer portal kid, but man, right. he is exciting to watch. He's also doing some of the punt returns. I don't know about the kickoff
yeah.
returns, but he has, look, I'm nothing against Luther. I love Luther. I think at the end of this season, Kevin Coleman will have more of an impact on this Mizzou team than Luther did last season. That's my personal opinion.
I love them both, so I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll be politically correct. But both great kids, and again, had a great run with the chips. We're excited to get Kevin's out there. We've got him at top convenience stores on the old Vienna rack. Also available for the first time at Faroe Field at concession stand, so that's really great.
They did not have him in the suite last week. I looked for him.
Really?
Ken, you got to give him up in the suite. I was with the fancy people.
Yeah,
so
you were.
Only the common folks were able to get it.
So they are also available at Schnucks as well, the small bags, but also Schnucks, again, great partner. Jason Reed, the category manager, has been a huge supporter of the program, and they've got an exclusive 8-ounce bag of the Kevin Coleman chips, the Red Hot Honey Barbecue, exclusively at Schnucks. And then also, we've got a new one this year. Jason wanted to do a unique flavor, so we came up with one that I think is pretty cool. It's a St. Louis-style pizza flavor chip.
Okay.
And we've got what we call the STL Snack Av Crew, with the N in parentheses, so you can double it as SAC, because we got four.
Ah, that's what it is.
Yeah, four of their top defensive players, all St. Louisans. So ironically, all, of course, love St. Louis style pizza and all love chips. So we've got defensive backs Marvin Burks and Toriano Pride, and defensive lineman Marquis Gracial and Sterling Webb. And really
they're
having some fun with it.
Yeah, and they're all on the picture of the bag and looking mean and lean and like they're ready to play football, and also have some St. Louis pizza flavored Ridge potato chips, which must have Prevel cheese in them, right, Ken?
They do have the flavor. It's really unique. It really grows on you. It's a tangy flavor, little sweet, little spicy, but really unique flavor. And I want to give a shout out to Brad Larondo of Every True Tiger, who came up with the Snack / Sack Avenue Crew name. And we partner this year with Every True Tiger. Brad has always been great to work with, and so that's a big addition to the program this year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the game tomorrow. You're heading up, right?
I am, yeah.
So, South Carolina, the big question has been about the quarterback. Looks like he's going to play, and that changes the dynamic for the game, which I think the line was like 13.5 for a little
bit.
Now it's under 10.
Yeah.
Look, what's the kid's name, their starting quarterback?
Lenore Sellers.
Whether he plays or not, it's an SEC game. You got to take it seriously,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But you and I were just talking about this, not to jinx anything. I think we're pretty good. I think I know that we haven't played the toughest competition, but I've watched all three games, and obviously KU wasn't just a patsy, so that was a real win. But not only that, you're beating these teams in Central Arkansas and last week in ways that you need to if you are a good team. You need to stomp on them and not allow them to score points, and that's exactly what they've been doing. The run game looks fantastic right now with this Hardy kid, right?
Yeah, he is fantastic. I mean, he is breaking tackles, he is making people miss. I mean, some of the runs he had last week, granted against a group of five foe, but some of the runs he had last week were unbelievable.
And I love Prabula, and I like his composure. He looks like now, but then again, we're going to see some different caliber of athlete tomorrow with South Carolina.
Yeah, he has seemed completely in control of the game, and that's what's been really great to see. And the combination, I think their balance of run and pass is probably among the best, if not the best, in the SEC so far. Defense, they've got a balanced defense there. They've got depth, and that's a big thing, especially as you get into the conference season. I'm excited. Tomorrow's going to be a good one, and I think it's going to set the stage for a really, really exciting season.
You know, I said a couple weeks ago, you got to win that game against KU, right? I mean, they had to, and they did. So, but I mean, tomorrow's another one of those. If you want to keep moving forward in the season, you got to take care of the games at home, and you got UMass coming in next week. So this could really, with Alabama coming in a few weeks, maybe we get College Game Day or something like that. That could be amazing and a lot of fun at the Zoo.
Absolutely. You know, South Carolina is one of those games. There's a group of teams kind of in the middle that are top middle of the conference that that these are the games that are going to decide tiebreakers when it gets to the end of the season. So it's actually almost like two wins because you win the tiebreaker over South Carolina as well.
So the stadium looks crazy right now. I mean, I feel like when you're watching it on television, they try not to show you the south end zone because that's where the construction is. But when you're in there and you see the, and you know, as someone like me who's been going to Faurot Field since 1984, I think I went to my first game in 84, 85. I only went to one game when I was a student, believe
it
or
right?
not. Yeah, it might have actually been 86 now that I think about it. I was all focused on journalism and radio. But of course, where the big M is in the south end zone, that's all dug up. They're putting suites above that. Now, they are going to have some version of the M for students to sit on when this is all complete, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Some version of it, some recollection, you know, it'll be there, probably smaller, but it is taking shape a lot. It's going to be ready for next season,
yeah.
So the beginning of next season. They're really progressing on it, and it's going to enclose the stadium, which is going to make it a whole different atmosphere.
So, so if you're on stadium, if you envision the dorms that are across the street from the stadium or the hospital or anything like that, or if you were tailgating in whatever lot that is, you could see into the stadium, and you could see a little of the field that's been, I think, reduced over the years, but now it's going to be completely a big bowl with most of the seating that they're adding seemingly to me seems like suites, right?
A lot of suites and club seats. I think there are some general admission type seats, and then they're going to keep some version of the hill, I think, as well, which is general admission. But I think it's also going to serve to really encapsulate the sound a lot better because it'll be enclosed.
Oh, that's a good point. It'll be louder in there. Ken, thank you for coming in. I got to do audio cut of the day, but check out the Kevin Coleman chips at Schnucks, a variety of other locations, and of course the other version with the defensive lineman, which looks great, the St. Louis pizza flavor chips. Anything else you want to mention?
No, that's great. Just again, Schnucks, great partner. Appreciate your help and promoting them, and M-I-Z.
C-O-U.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we're going to air the memorial for Charlie Kirk on Sunday, but how about this on Fox this morning from a St. Louis guy who knows a little bit about leadership and certainly faith, Cardinal Dolan.
Guy's a modern-day St. Paul. He was a missionary. He's an evangelist. He's a hero. He's one, I think, that knew what Jesus meant when he said, the truth will set you free. And to do it, now, I understand he was pretty blunt and he was pretty direct. He didn't try to avoid any controversy. He didn't even try to avoid confrontation. The difference is the way, the mode, the style that he did it, always with respect. And not only was that a gracious kind of virtuous thing to do, it's effective. Because when your opponents see, this guy kind of respects me. We kind of disagree here, but he kind of enjoys me and he's thanking me for being here. And he's telling me he appreciates the trust I have in him in sharing my views. I thought this guy can teach us something.
Well spoken by Cardinal Dolan. Have a great weekend. Go Mizzou. We'll talk Monday afternoon at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.